Steve Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Donald Trump has now been indicted for the third time, with the former president being charged over his effort to overturn his defeat in the 2020 election. The federal investigation is the latest criminal case for Mr. Trump as he runs for the White House in 2024. He's denied any wrongdoing. Final preparations are taking place this week to prepare a barge for housing hundreds of asylum seekers in Dorset. Meanwhile, local residents in Portland have created welcome packs to give to the migrants when they arrive. Heather is part of the Global Friendship Group and has been telling us what's in the packs.
So we've got toiletries, toothbrushes and toothpaste, shampoo, body washes, razors. We've got a notebook and pen so they can write things down and take notes for their English lessons. We've got a map of Portland because obviously they don't know the area and likely to be very scared when they come here.
And finally, a firefighter in Northern Ireland left his own retirement party to help rescue 28 calves trapped in a slurry tank. Commander John Holmes and guests left the party to rescue the calves in County Armagh. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Ricky Williams.
As Helen opened her Amazon parcel, her stomach filled with butterflies, rapid air technology and a grill mode feature, this air fryer tickled Helen's taste buds for a price lower than she'd ever imagined. 5 stars from Helen. Find star-rated products at star prices. Start your search on Amazon today.
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
Hello, I'm Dr. Lamide Savage. I want parents and guardians to know that, with measles cases in England rising, it's important to check your children are up to date with their MMR vaccinations. It's the safest and most effective way to protect your child. Check their Red Book to ensure they are up to date with vaccinations and book any missed doses with their GP practice. To find out more, visit nhs.uk/MMR.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Let me see you go back. Let me see you come back. Now let me see you go back.
It's Friday and I'm ready to swing. Pick up my girls and hit the party scene tonight. Oh, it's alright. So get up and let this funky mellow get you in the mood.
Let me see you go back and forth, back and forth.
Back, not checking.
Let me see you go.
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very good evening to you all. Welcome to The Business Mix. My name is Chrissy.
And I'm Rachel. And it seems like for ages we haven't said
it. Even I had to kind of readjust my head.
I know.
What am I doing?
Out and about, shaking hands, seeing a lot of people, meeting a lot of people. But we have to come back in the studio. We can't not be here. And what better way to land back in the studio than with a Money Mob takeover with the man himself, Mr. Paul Muhammad. Hi, Paul.
Greetings.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm better off for seeing you all, I tell you. It's been too long.
Well, I guess we've been, it's been a while in the studio.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we have been bumping into you on the...
Oh, yes, you know.
Out on the street.
We're bumping into each other on the street and, in settings and stuff like that. Absolutely. So it's beautiful to see you all, I'm telling you. Really.
Great. So we have, as we said, it's our monthly takeover, annual Money Mob takeover, where we hand over the reins to Paul, who gives us a great, great insight into what he's been doing for the month, where he's going next month. And always come with one of the best best guests. What can I say? With the best guests.
So I'm telling you.
We're about to hand it over to you to let us know what have you been doing.
Thank you. So greetings, everyone. My name is Paul Muhammad, and I am the founder of Buy Black Crowdfunding, Crowd Purchase Movement, the Money Mob. Money Mob is all about using group economics to support Black business. We've been going for the last 7 years, and our claim to fame is this concept called the Money Mob, where we target businesses, usually by referrals, and on a day and time, we mob that business. Could be one person, it could be 110 people. Everyone spends a minimum spend of £10 per person. And in that way, we actually fund that business immediately. This month has been a very, 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 very busy month. So, I have been to this event, that event. July has been the month that I visited. I was in Birmingham for the Birmingham Black Business Show. Saw some amazing brands down there. One of the brands that I loved when I went down is a brand. It's a fragrance brand called Ingrained Oil. Ingrained Oil. They because I'm into oud oil and stuff like that. It makes you kind of, it's much more natural. It makes you look really, really, make you feel really, really nice. And they had some beautiful fragrances. So please make sure you check out Ingrained Oil and check out my man Kwame, who is the head of that brand, on www.ingrainedoil.com. As I said, I'm looking forward to the UK Black Business Show that will be in London come October. Also, during this month, we had Blackout Day Global, where I was linking up with many of my compadres here and all over the world. Big up to Libinois and Afroculture, who are based in the UK as well as in France. And that day, it was all about supporting and buying Black on that particular day. One of the first one of the first purchases I made was the jerk sauce. You can see the jerk sauce that they are now actually selling in Selfridges, and it is the jerk house sauce is done by Marshall and Brown. They are a premium food brand. And please check them out. I'm telling you, they are a serious brand. They not only does jerk sauces, they do chocolate, they do cakes, they do tea, they do coffee. A premium brand headed by founder Dr. Carlton Brown, an amazing brand. And if we can, please make sure you go up to Selfridges and purchase again. Let me show you again, Jerk House barbecue sauce. I'm a vegetarian, so I don't usually so I'm not going to put it on any kind of steaks or anything like that. So I usually put it on my beans, or I put it on my lentils, or I put it on it, and it is amazing. So as I said, that is the Jerk House. Also, I went to designer brand Davies Wesh, who are in Great 38 Great Portland Street. They are a menswear brand on another level. They're a premium menswear brand. I went up there to get some sneakers. As I said, if you get a chance, make sure you go up to the West End and check them out. They are at 38 Great Portland Street, and that is London, W1W8QY. And you check them out on www.ukdavidwesh. And that's Wesh spelled WEJ.com. And then later on, I went down to the Ends in Peckham, and was at the Levels, Peckham Levels, and visited the Little Bower Bar. I had a lovely meal, me and my friends. It's very much it's a Senegalese restaurant. I'm selling that kind of street crew kind of vibe. Had a nice little, a plantain dish. Oh, it was absolutely amazing. Again, if you're in the Peckham area, check them out. They're at Peckham Levels, the top of Peckham Levels, and that is 95A Rye Lane, and that's SE15-4. S for sugar, T for Terry, and that is in London. Check them out, serious place. And if you're in Paris, there is a restaurant called Le 24 restaurant, and it's in Rue Docteur Fievre, and it's in just outside of Paris. Check them out. Beautiful food from the Congo. A little place. And again, please make sure you support that restaurant. I think my last purchase was this bag, a little tote bag by a brand called Osas. They're a French based brand. Some serious they do a lot of apparel wear. So you're talking about your snapbacks, t-shirt. They got a new range of jackets. So check them out. And they are www.osas99prod. PDOD.com. Again, www.osas99prod. That is PROD.com. And the business of the month. I was blessed to go with these two lovely ladies to the UK Black Business Entrepreneur Conference, and had an amazing time. I know that we were just in our elements there, and again, I said, if you're going to work, it is no better to go to work with two of my favorite people. But I have to say, big up to the organizers of the UK Black Entrepreneurs Conference. Amazing day, amazing speakers, and loads of highlights. And I have to say, business of the month is Aspire Consultancy. It is a big time marketing company, and they are a premium company in regards to all of your marketing and business needs. Please check them out. If you're serious about your business, check out Aspire Consultancy on www.aspireconsultancy.com.
Can I also say, I'm just going to say it from now, is when the tickets come out for this event.
That's right.
As soon as you see, don't think, oh, I'll get it in a couple. Because the tickets were sold out, within less than a month of them going on sale. They went, they were out on sale like about 3 months before the actual event. Yeah. So too late shall be thy cry, people. Just as soon as you see it, buy it.
That's right.
You won't regret it. There was so much talent in the room. There was so much networking. I mean, you know, people think, oh, networking, but actually, no, this was like proper relationships kind of like being built. People who hadn't seen each other for years in the room can reconnect in again. And I'm pretty sure and certain that some really fruitful connections were made.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know about your highlight. One of my highlights was obviously David Olusoga. He was amazing. Chris Akabusi, he was fantastic.
Mr. Eric Collins was. So yeah, I think there was a lot, and it was a great. Sometimes you go to events and there's a lot of kind of subjective opinions discussion. But what was great, as you said, with Dr. Carlton, like there's no messing around. Everything's backed by data. Like there's numbers.
That's right.
It's not that that is the be all and end all, but sometimes you need that.
Right.
Quantitative data to actually make a case and state your case. So yeah, really, really, and if you, even the actual the brochure itself, the like conference magazine, the amount of
the goodie bag,
millions of pounds that is in there. Like if you add up everybody's kind of success and wealth, yeah, we're doing things.
I'm telling you. So look, we have now come to that time now. I want to really bring up the chap that I said he has made my life a dream since going on the Black Unity bike ride. He is one of the, I think he's the founder of Black Unity Bike Ride. I was blessed to watch on Instagram, I think it was 2021. I watched you all going through town in the rain, I think it was. And I said, you know what? I don't care. Sun, rain, shine, heat wave, one leg or two, I'm going to be there 2022. And I was blessed to go there, and I trust me, I was not surprised. I'm telling it was a ride of a lifetime. So let me introduce the founder of Black Unity Bike Ride, Tokes. Good day, sir. Good morning.
Hello. Evening.
greetings.
How you doing, sir?
I'm not too bad. Please let people know, especially those who who live under a rock, who is Tokes and who is the Black Unity Bike Ride.
The Black Unity Bike Ride is basically a concept that I gave birth to in 2020, deep in lockdown, in the aftermath of the George Floyd murder. But as a bit of background, I've always kind of been involved in my community. I've always had a passion for community empowerment, community action. Many moons ago, I set up I co-founded a rites of passage program for young Black boys called Origin. And that was all about design to support families to raise sons. And it was delivered by all Black men from different walks of life. Trying to add value to our community. So that's always been the golden thread in the kind of things that I've done. And I've done a few other things in between. But the Black Unity Bike Ride was a bit of a surprise to myself. It wasn't something I had planned. It was more of an emotive reaction to the aftermath of the George Floyd murder, where I personally was quite fatigued with marching. Personally, not saying that it's not right for everyone, but I felt I needed to express what I was feeling in a different way, in a way that was focused on empowerment of self rather than focused on the premise of asking someone else to treat me with dignity, because that felt like that was a reaction, whereas I wanted to do something more proactive. So I'm involved in sports. I use sports as a way of keeping me motivated. And I'm into cycling. And I heard a myth that black people don't like bikes. So I thought I'd put that to the test. That's what happened. So 2020, I put something out anonymously on social media 10 days before. And then when I rocked up to Walthamstow, hundreds of black people were waiting to take part in what is has become a very special movement and community.
Indeed. So, because I think the first one was, it was 2020. I will always remember that because I was at the reparations march in Brixton. And I think it must have been 2:30, 3 o'clock. I saw hundreds of people just cycling through town. It wasn't a special day anyway, but it was really, really an amazing, amazing sight. And as I said, that was even before I saw the video with you all, in the rain. So look, the next question I wanted to ask, I mean, what's the mission for the Black Unity Bike Ride?
Yeah, it's got it's two things, really. It's about amplifying and celebrating unity within our community. So empowering people to collaborate and support each other. But it's also focused on well-being. In our community, I think Sport England released some data a couple of years ago where 75% of people from ethnically diverse backgrounds didn't cycle. And only 53% of people from Black heritage considered to have an active lifestyle. So that was the lowest level across all ethnicities, or one of the lowest levels across all ethnicities. So knowing the perceptions of cycling and Black people, I wanted to kind of myth bust, basically. I wanted to challenge people to inspire them to do something maybe different, or connect with others that are already doing it. And as a byproduct, we wanted to see more inclusivity and more diversity within the sport of cycling, which can be deemed quite exclusive and elitist. For us, we just wanted to disrupt space, take up space. And that's the reason why the route goes right through central London. We're not going any kind of back roads and stuff. We want to be seen, a big, giant black peloton riding through London. And it's a sight, and it's something that is unique. So that's where the kind of passion is. And we have three values: unity, empowerment, and love. And everything that we do needs to have those ingredients involved. And it started as a one-off annual ride, but now it's grown with other kind of components that make up the movement.
Also, one of the things I noticed when I was on the ride last year was, I think roughly about 40% of the attendants were sisters. Was that something that that surprised you, or is something that you always knew that was out there?
No, I didn't know it was always out there, but that was by design. So the first year, when I had the idea, and then 10 days later we executed it, we probably had about 20% sisters on the ride. And that was a problem for me, because the whole idea of inclusivity, we wanted that gender balance. So we purposefully had that as a KPI to try and get up to that 50-50 mark. And as you say, that's been consistent in whatever we do, whether it's taking a group to Ghana to ride, sisters are present, whether it's our annual ride, where over 1,000 people are there, significant representation of women. It's purposeful. It's something that is really important to us. We have some regular sessions at the Olympic Park over in Stratford, and half of our ride leaders are women. So it's not just about participation, but it's also ensuring that representation is in leadership roles as well. So yeah, it's very purposeful and by design.
And another question I wanted to ask you as well, I remember also speaking to a few people that had come over, some from the Caribbean, Trinidad, I think there was a few from, also from Ghana. Is this something that is very, that has now got to the stage where it has now really appealed to the international public? And is it something that you also are doing as a part and parcel of your outreach program?
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, we're of African heritage people, so the diaspora is important to us. So we have started to see more engagement with people either being aware of us, supporting us online, internationally, buying our kit internationally, or coming over for our annual event. So it's definitely moving in the right direction. We're kind of feeling that the stickiness is starting to appear, and it's great. It's so empowering. I think it's one of those things where it's hard not to love it, if I'm totally honest. Like, regardless of whether you're a seasoned cyclist or a novice that maybe only pick up a bike once or twice a year, the concept alone is hard not to like. It's hard not to love.
Right, now I'm going to ask you a controversial question. all right. As someone who, because again, I was there. I saw the Black Unity bike ride in its glory. Do you think that as Black people, we're probably the only one that can really understand about making things properly diverse? We're the best place people to actually create diversity, whether it is in cycling or any other activity. What was your thoughts on that?
That's an interesting question. So for me, I just think we bring the funk wherever we are. I just think it's part of our fabric. So, you know, the kind of, if you didn't know what that event was, you wouldn't place it in the world of cycling, because we bring our own energy, we bring our own vibrancy, and it's a unique quality, you know. And then you combine that with other tenets of our culture, food, music, our fashion sense, you know, there is a lot there, and it's quite hard to ignore it. So for me, I truly believe that as a community, we are boundless, you know, and it's really about, that's why we do this. It's all about empowerment and realizing how boundless we can be. I mean, the fact that, you know, you're able to inspire people from such a spectrum of backgrounds to be in one place. You know, you had caricatures of different aspects of our community side by side, that you will never see that in other places, you know. And then the inclusivity goes beyond that to even age. Our youngest participant was my son at the time, he was age 6. And then our oldest participant was 76. You know, so for me, it was just beautiful. We had these cycle taxis, which like have 4 people in them, right? And 3 of them were trustees from New Initiatives. And what was beautiful is as they were going along in the ride, other participants were video calling their parents, showing them the cycle taxi and saying, "See, I told you, you should come to this. You know, there is no excuse, regardless of what your mobility capabilities are, there's ways in which we do that." So yeah, I just think we bring the funk, we bring the vibe, whatever it is, whether it's business, whether it's things like sport, trying to diversify that, culture, heritage, sciences, we just bring our energy. I think what it is maybe more of us need to feel the agency to do that and be brave enough to take that first step and have the courage to say what could possibly happen rather than the fear of what could possibly go wrong.
Indeed. Okay, so I want to just ask you one more question before I bring in Christy and Rachel. Burb, 2023, what are we looking forward to? Are we going to have food down there? What are we going?
It's worries in the dance pool, seriously. Like, it's proper worries in the dance for everybody. Like, we just level up each year, just, you know, learn, take feedback. We survey over 400 people at last year's event, taking that feedback on board, you know, This year, we're taking it to another level. We work in partnership with Black East London, who do a great market in Hackney. They're going to plug and play what they bring there. We've got 12 different vendors providing a selection of food from our community and culture, really inclusive. So we'll definitely have a fantastic array of foods. We've got some great DJs lined up as well this year. We're able to finally have amplified music at the end. Last year, we had some political complications that prohibited us from doing that, like literally 4 or 5 days out from the event. But we've got the green light now, so we'll be bringing presents. I assure you, Dulwich Park wouldn't have seen anything like it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And just going back slightly, what was the highlight for you 2020? Because I've got my own highlights.
2020, wow.
Sorry, yeah. No, sorry, 2022. Sorry.
2022, but what was the highlight for me? I mean, there's a personal one, and then there's one that just always gives me like shivers. So the personal one, as I said, my son took part. So he rode from Leighton to Hackney Downs Park, about 5-6 miles.
Yeah.
And we were riding along Leighton. So the context is, I grew up in Leighton. That's the prime reason why the ride starts there. So it's all nostalgic for me. Okay. These roads I was riding on when I was the same age as my son. So being able to share Leighton High Road, riding with him at the front of the peloton, leading over 1,000 black people, it was, yeah, there was a lot of rapid eye movement going on. And he kept asking me, how am I doing, Daddy? And I was like, you're doing great. So that was a very special moment for me. But as a ride, nothing beats riding through central London, the Strand, Whitehall, with everything that epitomizes, blasting something like Garnet Silk on big boy speakers. And yeah, like that, just the shivers every year. It's had the same effect. And the response that we get from the onlookers, the tourists and people there, it's all positive, it's all loving. Even the white van drivers are giving us way. So it's just infectious. So that for me always stands out. That's always a moment in a ride that I look forward to, and I'm sure and I always try and be near a speaker box when I reach that point.
Indeed. Yeah, I have to admit, that is definitely my highlight. And riding through the Strand, Charing Cross Road, and hearing, I'm every woman. Ain't nobody but Chaka Khan, and people are on the road, man, dancing. Oh gosh, I tell you, that is one of my abiding memories, man. I'm telling you, I looked to it, I said to myself, I could die now and go straight to heaven. It was amazing. Oh, it was amazing. I am telling you. Yeah. Absolutely. Chrissy, Rachel, any questions?
Chris, I know you're dying to ask a question about cycling.
I'm one of those percent in that percent. I don't ride a bike. Shh, don't tell anybody. I'm terrible. I never had balance as a kid. And so I just never chose to, but I'm always encouraging my nieces and nephews to get on the bike. So how do you encourage parents, young people to get on those bikes, and kind of defeat those fears and demons that they have? And the road is scary. The roads are scary.
Very true. No, I hear you. So one of the early things I did was set up an alliance, because there are a number of different cycling collectives within London that are black-led. So I pulled them all together and we formed an alliance, right? Called the BUBR Alliance. And the beauty is, all of those different collectives are hosting rides for different levels, different capabilities. Some are even providing training programs. Mm-hmm. I think right now, one of the crews, No Limit, are doing a learning how to ride program in South London. So the beauty is, whatever stage you are at, there is a collective that can support you on that journey. So if you're at the very beginning and aspiring to learn how to ride, there are collectives that can help you with that. And if you're at the other end of the spectrum and you've been riding for a while and you want to go on long rides out to Essex or Sussex or wherever, there's collectives that, that do that as well. So yeah, there's 17 different collectives that we work with. Some are focused on faith-based, some are gender-based, some of them are open to everyone and anyone. So yeah, we just signpost people. If people kind of contact us, whether it's through email or on Instagram, tell us where they are, then we'll signpost them to the collectives that can help them. Because you're right, there is a generation of us that didn't have that exposure, and the kind of the fear may have got the better of us. But now we can change that narrative. We are in a position where we can change that narrative.
Yeah. I think I'm a driver. So
you say that with such authority.
Exactly.
No, you know what? It's not with authority. It's almost like with a heavy heart. Because I see and I know what like drivers are like on the roads. But then sometimes I see some bike riders and I'm like, do you value life? Like, what's happening? I loved riding a bike as a child. No, I loved riding a bike as a child. I grew up in Kent, so I had space and fields and freedoms, all that kind of stuff. And then coming to London, I was like, yeah, no, I don't know if it's scary enough to drive. But what I will say is that there is like some, it's like a sense of, I don't know, freedom when you're riding a bike. It's very hard to put it into words, but you just get a sense of like, yeah, I'm free, I'm mobile, I can be where I want to be, go where I want to go. The thoughts that you have when you're riding as well, that you sometimes don't have the chance to have when you're kind of like going through the hustle and bustle of everyday life. So even, you know, if the first step is just taking the kids out in the park with your bikes, I can't, I'd really encourage people to do that. But my question for you, Tox, is how can we, whether we're bike riders or not, car drivers or not, how can we support what you're doing? What would really make a difference?
As you rightly said, Rachel, you know, there is a real risk element. Safety is paramount. So we've been really fortunate to date that we've not had any serious injuries on the ride, and it's my priority to keep it that way. So what helps us achieve that is volunteers. You know, we have an ambition of securing 300 volunteers for this year's ride. Half of them will be ride marshals, so more experienced riders that are helping others navigate the route. And then the other half are located at our four locations that we'll stop at. Well, we start at Leighton, then we've got to stop in Hackney, then we've got to stop in Holborn, and then we get down to Dulwich Park. So that's one way that you can definitely help is spreading the word to help people that might be interested, who might not be able to ride a bike or not, you know, interested in riding on that day, but would love to roll up their sleeves and give us a hand, because it's a huge logistical operation. Like, I cannot underestimate just how challenging it can be to get all the jigsaw pieces in place. And then the second bit is really just to spread the word. I mean, this for us, we kind of, it's now being kind of dubbed as Carnival on Bikes, because that's the energy that we're going for. Do you know what I mean? It's not a race. It's a community ride. Probably the average pace is like 8 miles an hour. So we're just cruising. We're cruising. But yeah, for us, it still feels like it could be bigger. Mm. So I think spreading the word and making more people aware of it is another way in which people can support. And this is for us, by us. Right, so in a sense, its success is dependent on us as a community. So there isn't any excuse about, you know, it being expensive. I mean, to get a ticket, we take donations. You can pay a quid and then be there. So we've removed as many of the barriers to entry as possible. But yeah, they're the two key ways in which you can support this event being an even bigger success than what it has been today.
Right, thank you.
I didn't ask you, you know, Tox, when was your cycling journey started? When did you actually start cycling?
Yeah, so I rode bikes all through my youth. That was the thing, right? Before you can pick up a mobile phone and say, is Johnny at home? You had to ride to his house. And you knew where everyone was because you saw the bikes outside the house, right? So I was definitely a biker in my youth. And I got my first bike, what my brother passed down to me. But then in my adult years, it kind of dropped off. Dropped off because it just wasn't convenient. And like expressed, London didn't feel the safest city to ride in. But then through Origin, the Rites of Passage program that we set up in 1999, we started to do sporting fundraisers. And the first one was a white collar boxing bout, which was tough and I'll never do again. The second one was 10 of us rode to Paris from London.
Okay.
And that was a baptism of fire, but it also reignited my passion for cycling. And that was 2019. And then immediately after that, I did a triathlon, the London Triathlon. And then I was in, you know, and from there, it's just been, I don't get to ride as much as I would like to. I've got a young family, you know, it's quite challenging on the weekends to fit it all in, but yeah, like Rachel said, there is an essence of freedom that you get on a bike that you just can't get that anywhere else. There are parts of London that I've either discovered or rediscovered because of a bike. And I would have missed out on that pleasure. So yeah, that's kind of where my journey was reignited in back into cycling.
Okay. And just give our viewers and listeners an idea. I mean, to you, I mean, what are the main health benefits of cycling?
So, you know, it's being active. As I mentioned earlier, our community has one of the lowest levels of active exercise engagement. So for me, it's that. It's also about being connected with communities as well, because you get a chance to meet people, ride with other people, and improve your skills. Right. But for me, it's definitely about the well-being of being active, having something that, you know, you could double up as a commute if your workplace is within distance. So it's economical as well as, you know, good for your health. But spiritually as well, I just find it's a very peaceful experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I live quite a busy lifestyle. My day job, I run a youth charity across the UK. So there's a lot of going on. But once I'm on the bike, it kind of like all of that is parked. And it's quite a spiritual experience. So for me, they're the benefits of cycling, definitely. And I've seen it within our community. In the last 3 years, I've seen people sending me videos of them learning to ride a bike. And then a year later, taking part in like a huge sportif like Ride London and doing 100 miles. It's like, wow. So it's definitely impacting people's lives for the better.
Okay.
And I know some people may not like Boris bikes, but it's made biking accessible, hasn't it? You may see them all over the pavements, but Boris, even if you can't afford a bike of your own, at least you can go 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day, hop on a Boris bike and you know, ride with your friends everywhere. Mm-hmm. Put them back safely, please, people.
Yeah, not in car parking spaces, please. Put them in the allotted spaces. Thank you. Because they're heavy and I don't like moving them.
You can feel it, man.
Yeah, but cycling, we're not new to cycling. That's the thing, you know, like, you go back, like we have real generations of cycling in the Caribbean, in Africa, and here in the UK. Yeah. So, for me, we ain't new to this. So yeah, it's for us to kind of take up space.
Indeed,
I feel like Chrissy, I'm upset. You've never felt that wind, like that noise in your ear, like when you're pedaling downhill and you're thinking,
oh, listen. My friends used to sit on the back and we'll ride. We'll give you what did you used to call it? A wheelie.
Wheelie, yeah.
And I'll be like, oh my gosh. All like on the seafront in Bognor Regis. My parents tried to buy me a bike and it just didn't work. You never know.
Listen, 2023 is going to be the year of the bike for you, because I can see it.
The bike.
We're going to do it. We should record the journey. We should document it.
Sure, why not? A brilliant idea.
No. I'm Chrissy, I'm your friend. I'm not going to document it. No, I'm not doing that. But look, as we're coming and winding down, please again let people know, where, everything, all the details, how, what we can do to contact you, social media, your platforms, website.
Yeah. So our website is blackunitybikeride.com. You can register for the ride there. On Instagram, it's blackunitybikeride. And there are main two kind of platforms we have. If you need to email us, it's info@blackunitybikeride.com. Hopefully we'll see you at this year's big ride at Leighton and making our way to meet some Jollof and Jerk at the end in Dulwich Park.
Oh, absolutely. And what is it, about 10 stores or 12 stores?
12.
All right, stores. Okay.
Good
okay.
selection.
And what is the date? What's the date we should be
looking at? The 5th of August, Saturday the 5th of August. So this is another point. We did the first one on the same day as the Reparations March, because it was Emancipation Day. So that was purposeful. The first one was August the 1st. But then we also made it the first Saturday of August to coincide with Black Pound Day as well. So for us, it is about our community and as you rightly know, Black economics and community power. So, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. So we're now coming to the ultimate question, and it's the Money Mob question. Tokes.
Yes, sir.
You were given one wish in regards to the Black community, what would that one wish be?
I think my one wish is to realize our power and collaborate more and trust each other more. To collaborate more. That's something that in this journey, because we're all about unity, I've seen firsthand how challenging that can be. When you're presenting things with an essence of love, and sometimes people perceive it as something different. So, yeah, I think that that's my one wish.
Okay, that sounds brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So, folks, I am so honored to have you on. Privileged to have you on, and God willing, I will be there amongst the many. I know I've got friends coming down from north as well, so I know that it's going to be an amazing time. And Chrissy, Rachel, you must come down, man.
I am thinking, I was literally going to say, yeah, we'll be at the park.
Yes,
come along. So we can bring our children and family.
Yeah, we've got entertainment, family entertainment at Dulwich Park. There's loads of things that will be there for all of the family. So yeah, definitely, we'll come down.
We'll be there. We're praying for good weather.
Indeed. So look, we're just now kind of tying it up now, just to let you know in regards to what we're doing in the Money Mob during the month of August, of course. Black Unity Bike Ride, the 5th of August. Be there. And also, a bit further down the month, we'll be attending the Black Tech Day. That's going to be at Croydon Campus, LSBU. And that's on the 19th and the 20th. So if you can, try to get down to Black Tech Day. Also, I know it's August and it's the month of Carnival. I know I'm going to be down there definitely for Panorama on the Saturday. Yeah, thank you so much, Talks. As I said, we are very, very much looking forward to that day.
Brilliant. Thank you,
Rachel.
Yeah, I just want to say
thank you.
If you want to get in touch with the Black Community Bike Ride, you can find them on Instagram at Black Unity Bike Ride, or info@blackunitybikeride.com. If you're, it sounds old to email people now, isn't it? I was like, oh, just DM me, but you know, at one time it was really forward thinking to send an email. But yeah, if you want to send an email, go info@unitybikeride.com.
Indeed.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Paul, so much for a really great takeover, as always.
Thank you. And we look forward
to seeing you next month. Rachel, it's been a joy, a pleasure, a gift.
All of that.
Be with you today, all of that jazz. And yes, I guess I'll see you next week.
The Business Mix Show.
Thank you.
mystery. Anyone it's made up to be. Some people spend their time running away from what's right. And I sure don't wanna run, and I sure don't wanna run from you, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here is what I should do. My love, so good. My love, it's just for you. Love, oh, my love.
I wanna shower you with kisses, 'cause you're my love.